Isn't it awesome we can gather together and remember the memo for to wear orange today was Disability Development Month. And we got to understand folks that go through that. And if you think you don't, we all need to develop as Christians, so to speak. But this month is to recognize those with maybe a difficulty in their life, physical, mental, wherever it might be, as they develop. That's the purpose of this, so I'll wear this proudly for them. Again, remember our pastor. And in preparing for this sermon this morning, I got to thinking about personalities. And, you know, you look at this room here, and nobody's the same. Nobody. And I often think, you know, in my quiet time or whatever, in meditating or whatever, thinking about your life and where you're at today, and you look back, and you can go clear back to, you know, I remember just little tidbits of things at Grandma Kuntz's when I would have to stand on the back of the couch to see out the window, and I watched Mom driving down the road. She had dropped me off up there to be babysit by Grandma, and I'd watch her leave. I remember things like that, and to realize that's what develops us. That's things in life. What people in your life? I think a lot about, you know, right now there's many people in this room that have helped in my personal development as a man, as a dad, as a brother, as a husband, as a pastor. I never feel good about that, just because, man, I'm humbled by it, you know. But to learn, you know, I've struggled learning things, and there's folks here that teach that I get it. I understand. People that can sing, I can't. But I admire those that do, but I appreciate them using their gift, their personality. We all have personality, right? So I got to thinking about the disciples. And of course, you know, the 12 disciples, and God chose, God didn't stumble into, but Jesus chose, handpicked 12 different personalities, as we can see. And the one we know the most, you know, about is Peter, you know, I'll cut your ear off, Ron. You behave, and then I'm a chicken tomorrow, you know. And then John the Beloved, who was always right there. And we could go on, and that's really not the point. But that brought me to Paul. And Paul was an apostle, and we've been studying a lot of his writings in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews, and all the epistles that Paul wrote, and to think about his personality. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 17. And while you're going there, We heard some quotes this morning in the Sunday school class. And here is one from Charles Spurgeon. Is there everybody know who Charles Spurgeon was? He's from the 1800s, considered one of the greatest preachers ever. He was from the old country. But anyways, I watched some of his short sermon topics on YouTube, and I read some books what have you. But this quote right here pertains to this sermon here this morning, and it's courage. That's the topic of the morning sermon, is courage. We all need courage. And we're going to see how biblical it is, how often God encouraged courage in people. But Charles Spurgeon, quote, "Courage is fear under control." And that hit me. It was the lifetime of anxieties and what have you. And we all have those things that scare us or make us hesitant or make us just plain not do what God has maybe called us to do. Even if it's so much as holding your hands up. When we had our arms up singing Amazing Grace, isn't that awesome? You know, that's an awesome song to stand in praise. And I can remember feeling uncomfortable raising my hands because I thought it wasn't cool. Because I thought it wasn't manly. Because I thought, and then when I wanted to, when I thought, man, I want to do that, I didn't have the courage to. And then it was like, But man, the courage that God can give us, to develop our courage from within, from the Holy Spirit, to hold our hands high in reverence to God, not being afraid of peer pressure, so to speak. Just like witnessing, just any stand you make for the Lord out there and in here. Okay? All right. Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 17. Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 17. And again, we're focusing right here on Paul, and we'll read this and get into the message. Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 17 says, "And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing in Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium, and after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came to the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, so we went toward Rome. From thence, when the brethren heard us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took," what?
Courage.
"And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for, as was spoken many times in the lesson today, the truth is laying open before our faces, Lord God. We ask that the person, you in the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just move upon us. Give us clarity of your truth that is being presented to us today. We ask again, God, for your guidance. We pray for our pastor, Lord God. We always pray for our pastor and his ministry, Lord God. And again, I ask for you to be with those in their homes, wherever they may be. Be with those that are sick and grieved. Be with those listening by radio. And we ask, Lord God, you be with our soldiers and the Christians in Iran. These favors we ask in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So in reading that, you know, we think about Paul and who Paul is. Just a little bit about his history real quick. He was a Pharisee. He persecuted the Jews. He held the coats of victims as they were stoned. And his name was Saul. But on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, Jesus confronted him on the way. And Paul changed. Saul changed. He went into the town. He was saved. He committed himself to the Lord. So we're in his time span. We're going to jump ahead. Paul did 4 missionary journeys, and that wasn't just around the local neighborhood. He traveled great distances, rode ships, walked. Who knows what all Paul done to travel. He worked as a tent maker, but his commitment was fully on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. As was referred to in the lesson today, the gospel is the truth. You remember growing up when somebody said, that's the gospel truth? Well, it sure is. The gospel is the only truth, as was taught in our class this morning. We see the world that wants to develop their own truth. And we've all probably been guilty of trying that ourselves. But we've got to know this word will not be distorted by AI if we're focused on the truth. If we let that AI, if we're, let's read, thou shalt blah, 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 and mix that together, you missed it. Because blah, 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 it's not in there. The truth is in there. We got to remember that. We got to stay anchored to that. Anchored to that, Mrs. Winslow. Good song. So, again, to get us up to speed where we're at now, Paul is on what's listed as his 4th missionary journey, but he was on trial in Jerusalem, and the Jews wanted him killed. Why did they want him killed? Because he was preaching the gospel. So, Paul, being a Jew, okay, was also born a Roman citizen. So, he appealed to the rulers at the time. I know their names, but I'm not going to try to say them. Agrippa, maybe King Agrippa, and Paul Pitt, one begins with a P. But anyways, he appealed to Caesar because he knew Caesar, because he was a Roman citizen, he was under Roman rule, and they couldn't. So what they do, they just want to ship him to Rome to Caesar. Okay, so Paul's on a ship as a prisoner. But he's on a ship, and we're not going to go into that. That is a great study, a great, many, many sermons in Paul's travels. But Paul is on his way to Rome, and he's confronted in this situation right here. Break it back, everybody come right back down to verse 15. And this is at a place where they're in Greece, and they're just miles away from Rome. And he said, after thence, when the brethren heard of us, fellow Jews that lived in Rome, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorum. And the three taverns. And that is a place on a map. I saw it in his journeys. Whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and did what? Took great courage. How often do we need courage? We live in a society and we've been indoctrinated so much. We got to have courage just to go to the dentist. You know, here this guy is seeking courage to go to prison, but to do what? To preach the gospel of Jesus. So, the reason I put so much emphasis on Paul, we got to know who Paul is a bit. We got to know his background. We got to know what he's experienced. And we look back, has anybody ever been shipwrecked? Has anybody ever been bit by a serpent and shook it off and threw it in the fire? None of us. And we're afraid to go to the dentist. We're afraid to hold our hands up. We're afraid to pray out in public. We'll sit around the table and let the three-year-old, you want to say grace? Oh, yeah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Like praying to God. Again, right back to just one more comment about family structures nowadays. We live in a society now that lets the three-year-old make the family decisions. Or the 15-year-old make the decisions. That's not godly ways. Okay, I made some pretty poor decisions when I was 15. I don't know about you all. Okay, but anyways, back to Paul. You know, and again, I encourage you to read a lot prior to that right there. That whole thing about the snake and the fire and the shipwreck and each and everything. But anyways, Paul is seeking courage. Where do we find courage? Where can we find courage? You know, there's health groups, video things we can watch, there's speech people we can go to, there's all kinds of sources, psychiatrists, psychologists, psychotics, I don't know, all kinds of side stuff out there that we can go to, but that's just from another person. Let's go seek our courage, the same source of courage that Paul was after. He thanked God. You know how much courage it takes to come up here and do this? I never imagined that this would be where I would be this day. And he has brought me from hiding my head in a bucket to, I don't really get even, I get a little nervous, but not too bad. He has showed me that his courage is greater than anything I can ever muster up on my own. You know, and if you're like myself, I told you earlier, I look back and how my life was formed, and I can remember when I was trying to be something that I wasn't. You know, whether it was the coon hunter or the trucker, or, you know, the different personalities that you'll see in our world today, I was looking and I was trying to be all but what God had told me to be, what God had raised me to be, what God was preparing me to be. And I look back of all the mistakes, all the things that still, I don't want to say haunt me, but still run through my mind today. Now, I see a lot of head shaking, you know. We've all experienced that. So, right back to Paul. Who was Paul before he was the great man of the Word of God? For he was the apostle that preached the gospel all through Asia Minor, all through in the face of dangers that we can't comprehend, in the face of prisons. Paul had courage, and yet he came from the same background. Basically, we all did. Lost and undone. Was doing things our own way. Trying to be what we wanted to be. What we thought we should be. But as on his journey to Damascus one day, Jesus interfered in his life. And Paul, that's where Paul resonates his courage from. At this point right here. And my point this morning is that's where our courage needs to come from. Because you know what? You know what? You're able to tell the cashier at Walmart that Jesus loves him. How do I know you're able? Because you can talk. How do I know you're able if you're born again? The Holy Spirit's within you. So, how do I know you're able? You know it. If you've read your word at all. If you're born again, you've had to know that Jesus loves them too. And you had to know that the Great Commission is for us to go tell them. So where does our courage come from? Think about our courage. Think about it. I'm just going to hit a couple more places. But I was thinking about, we're going to jump back into the Old Testament here just for a few minutes. But I got to thinking about the cowardly lion. Who remembers the cowardly lion? He wanted courage. He pulled that tail around there. Remember, he wiped his face. You know, I've been that guy. You know, you walk around like you're something and then you go home and hide in the closet. And that's all he wanted was courage. And then I think about the song that Sophie just sang, God's Promise to Be. God has promised us to be a lot of things. Yet we won't muster up the courage to do them. Seek the courage from on high. And you get you out of the way. I tell you, I can't begin to tell you how nervous I would get when I first accepted the call to preach. I'd try to write down every word I would say, try to rehearse it. That didn't work. Not a bit. If you're called to preach, you preach what the Lord gives you. And the less input Jamie has, the better. When I am weak, he is strong. We got to have courage to reach that level. And then the song, of course, The Anchor. I think of the anchor holds. No matter what, no matter what you're into, no matter the failures that you have, Another quote I saw of Spurgeon was, God uses those who have failed. Example right here. You look around. If you talk to many, many pastors throughout the land or evangelists or missionary workers or whatever, if you knew their background, we would see an insurmountable amount of failures. You know, I look around this room right now at all you people and I think, man, they should be teaching me. And I bet we've all been failures at one time or another. Right? Okay. So, in going on, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. And again, in the Strong's concordance, the word... courage, in the Greek, means boldness or daring. It doesn't say anything about arrogance. It doesn't say anything about stupidity. You know, hit that double, Jamie. Okay. You know, I just drummed up the courage and did it without thinking, well, I need just only go this fast. If I go way fast, I'm going to land out there and my hands are going to fly off the bars. I'm going to fly off the handlebars. I'm going to break a rib or two. Or the other one, if you ain't giving enough gas, you just jump and you hit short like that, you go over the bars. It's always bad to go over the bars. Go over the bars and break a collarbone or two, maybe a leg, you know, stuff like that. That's stupidity. That's not courage. So, to boldness or daring. And then in the Old Testament, and like I say, we'll touch a little bit on it in Joshua, but it was, I've seen it used 17 times in the Old Testament. Be alert. Being alert is a sign of courage. Now, we're not taught that in the physical world. We're taught that of being just bravery comes to mind. But being alert is being aware of what's around you. And what was the word I think Sophie said? Not to fear. Because we were given not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of, I don't remember, victory or whatever, spirit of hope or whatever. But in another place, it was talking about repair, to hold, strengthened, hardened, prevailed, encouraged. You get the point of what courage is. And it's a biblical trait that God can instill in us. Joshua, I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 1, read the first six verses. Now, we know we just finished Deuteronomy, but it's in the time span when, I'll just read it. I'm going to read 1 through 6. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' minister, saying, now we all remember who Moses was. He led the Israelites out of Egypt and was taking them to the promised land. And in their disobedience, they were stopped on this side of the river. And Moses was not allowed. That generation had to pass. But Joshua, God picked Joshua, said, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 4, for the wilderness, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And what's the next verse say? Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be strong and of a good courage. Courage and being strong, where does our strength come from? He's not talking about this, I'm the strongest guy, so I'm the best. He means to be strong in the Lord, strong in your faith, strong in the foundation that God has laid for us to stand on. Because without that foundation, we are not strong. I don't care who you think you are or what you think you are. You're weak without the foundation that God laid in the work of Jesus Christ. So, with that being said, God's telling Joshua, be strong in that way. And have courage. Courage. And again, courage means boldness and daring. There's no fear in biblical courage. It refers to it again in verse 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Again in verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Now listen, now hadn't he commanded us to be witnesses, to share the gospel? Be strong and of a good courage. What's he say next? Be not afraid. Who's been afraid? We've all been afraid. He's telling us, we'll be afraid in ourselves, but we got to not be afraid in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to know where our strength comes from. We got to know where our courage comes from. Because that courage is insurmountable. That courage is unbroken that He provides. Our courage is what fails. Our physical stuff fails. An older gentleman a while ago, talking about, you know, always something falling down, something breaking off of the old body, you know, and Dad said, it ain't no shame getting old, just gets a mite unhandy, and it sure does. The older you get, the more you understand that, and if we put our trust in these bodies, we see what's happening. That's the way our courage is. Our courage will deteriorate if it's a fleshly motivated courage, but our courage will stand strong if it's built on the rock solid foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God is telling Joshua to do. Because think about the thing that's about to occur when they cross over the River Jordan. Look at that land, that vast amount of land that God has given to them. And the task that lays ahead of Joshua to divide the land to the 12 tribes. That's courage that Joshua couldn't muster up on his own. That's courage that Ron Amos can't muster up on his own. That's courage that Jamie Burton and Dave Long and all the others that seek the Word of God can't muster up on our own. You can't pretend to be a Christian. So there again, it brings us right back to verse 18. I'll be done here in a second. Whoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. He's telling Joshua, I got your back. Says, only be strong and of a good courage. God has your back, people. God has our back against the wiles of the devil out there. Don't you believe that God is stronger than the devil? Amen. Huh? Yeah. And we are weaklings in our own flesh. But we have to seek our courage from God. And it's a courage that will never let us down. It's a courage that only God could give. Julie, you want to pull up a song there? But in thinking about that, from learning what I've learned in the last years that I've been here in Bible studies and whatever. Yeah, I heard a lot of stuff through my life. I heard a lot of truth through my life, but I heard a lot of trash through my life, and I chased a lot of trash through my life, and it was just all blah, 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 blah. But the word of truth has clarity. The word of truth is truth. Truth that we don't, the way truth is described that we can't understand. The truth is a real living thing. That right there. The word of a God. And we got to have the courage to reject that and stand on that. And stand on that alone. If you got a need today.